Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Zurian Show. The Zurian Show brings and shares powerful and useful information to our listeners. The show is great for those looking for the positive in the world. The goal of the show is to share great information on a number of topics and great subjects. Many of the subjects covered are not only great information, but helpful insights. The Zurian Show even shares some of life's greatest lessons from time to time. Thank you for listening, and now to our host, Zurian.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Zurian Show, and as always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and of course, good spirits. It is now 2014, and I'm sure that all of you are in the mix of starting to enjoy or regret some of the things that have already happened or some of the things that you didn't do in the past year. But let's let that go and let's move forward, because guess what? Today is now, and today is the day that we need to work on to become what we were meant to be. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we have a powerful and dynamic speaker by the name of Devin Robinson, and he is also a doctor. He has worked as a professor. He's an entrepreneur. He's a consultant. He's a trainer, and he's a gentleman that gives his talents to helping his audiences to adjust quickly and to engage with success techniques and business theory. He is a very tactful and no-nonsense person that tells the truth to his clients and helps them to grow, to develop, and to, of course, widen the dreams and hopes and desires that they have by giving them and showing them their full potential and the ideas for development. He's got extensive experience doing what he does, and he is definitely what I would say the man. So, out of the state of Georgia, Mr. Robinson, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show and giving me such an eloquent introduction.
Well, thank you. We appreciate having you. And we know that you have, how can I say it, you're a technician in what you do, and you're also somebody that has the ability to share that message and help people to, I guess I'd say, live their dreams. So with that, could you tell us just a little bit about you, please?
Yeah, well, you know, my story is pretty unique. It's just a story of an average guy. I mean, both of my parents worked. One retired from the government. One retired from corporate America. They skipped the generation. Skipped them as far as entrepreneurs. My grandparents were entrepreneurs, but not my parents. And so I didn't get, you know, entrepreneur, reaching your full potential, you know, break through the glass ceiling type of encouragement. I mean, my encouragement was, you know, aim high, like most parents tell you. But there's another level of that aim, you know. Aiming high, you can aim high and be largely successful for yourself. That's one level of success. And then you can aim high and aim for a high level of success for yourself, your children, your grandchildren, and so on and so forth. And that's usually achieved through entrepreneurship or business ownership, you know, that kind of stuff. So that piece of the encouragement or the influence in achieving high was not running rampant, you know, in my family. College was definitely encouraged. You know, getting to the highest place of position was definitely encouraged, but that was just encouraged for self. So for me, there was just a bug for entrepreneurship within me, but it wasn't being, I guess, cultivated so much. It took a series of experiences throughout my adult life before I stepped into that place of saying, you know what, it's time for me to step out on my own. I mean, I did it like, you know, a vast majority of Americans, right? We take the safe route, you know, we grow up, we get jobs, we secure our financial situation through employment, and then sometimes those that have the entrepreneurship bug, they dibble and dabble in stuff on the side. You know, you try to find things that stick, not really thinking too much of what's your passion and what where your expertise is, where your credibility is. You're just trying to find something that works for you, you know, on the side. And I did that for a while, and, you know, started eventually starting hitting some waves of success, doing some other things. I owned a finance, mortgage finance company and real estate, and I was a day trader for over a year, and owned a salon, barbershop, some retail stores, a chain of retail stores. You know, I was dabbling in things before I decided to go full-time entrepreneurship. But when I was in corporate America, you know, I was really doing my my real estate stuff, you know, while I was working as an engineer. And, you know, for some of your listeners, I don't know if they remember, just over 10, maybe about 12 years ago, the hugest or the largest accounting scandal, corporate accounting scandal in our history of America, from the company called WorldCom with Bernie Ebbers. I was an engineer for that company. And I watched lives get destroyed. I watched so many people get laid off. I worked in a building that had about 150 people. By the time I decided to resign, we had three people left in that building. It became very taxing. Going in and you're not sure if you're going to be next. You know, after every layoff, they say, that's it. That's all we need. And then you see another one. I mean, I survived through about seven or eight layoffs, and I've watched people. You know, one that really got to me was a guy. He was in his 70s, and he had worked for the company since the 70s. And when he got laid off, you know, the management would usually call you in the office and, you know, try to give you a pep talk to, you know, don't lick your wounds too long, get back to work type of thing. And I inquired about that guy who was so loyal to the company, all his stocks, his company stocks was in the company. He invested everything in the company stock. And he lost over $500,000, but they laid him off. And the response to that was, well, he's old enough to get Social Security, so we just let him go. He'll be okay. And that, I mean, just the callousness in the statement really made me feel like this is insane. I mean, I'm a young guy, you know, barely 30, it's my late 20s, and I'm like, wait a minute, this just isn't right. So I really, really started to dig my heels in on securing my financial position, my wealth position, and my entrepreneurship activities, because I just didn't know when it was coming. And eventually what happened was I resigned because another layoff was coming, and the guy, I was safe from the layoff again because I had some seniority in the building. But the guy that we knew was going to get laid off, he couldn't afford it. He had a family. He had nothing to really fall back on. And that, you know, that was tough economy during that time. We were going to war and all types of things were happening. So I decided to resign to save his job. And when I did that, I mean, it was such a learning curve. I mean, people who are on jobs, you really, really don't understand the magnitude of being in business for yourself. I know we say it sounds cliche, you know, work for yourself and own stuff. But when you really get out there without that safety net, without that check coming every couple weeks, vacation pay, 401Ks, health insurance, all that stuff as your safety net, you really, really start to feel the magnitude of the pressure or the stress to make the right decisions. But then you also feel the freedom in carrying out and executing on your creativity. You know, my last point, I remember as well when I was working for the company, the management was soliciting advice from the team, from the staff, on anything we can think of to cut corners or cut costs to, you know, help the company run a little more efficient. And I remember going into the manager's office. I mean, this was one of the things that led up to my resignation. I told him, I went in to give, you know, some things that I thought, and the manager said, well, anything you can think about, they've thought about already. And, I mean, he literally said that directly to me. I mean, that was such a diss in my face. I left his office with my tail between my legs, and I said, this is too much. I got to really just step out on faith and do something for myself and for my family to make sure that we're okay because, you know, especially large corporations – they're not looking out for your best interest. They're just looking out for the interest of the company. So that's how my journey started, and from there I just haven't ever looked back.
Outstanding. So is that how you came up with the, well, your book and all of the above for Power Moves? Hello? Well, ladies and gentlemen, it looks like we temporarily lost our great speaker, but he'll be back. Anyway, he has a book out, and the book is called Power Moves. And what he does is he talks about the importance of entrepreneurship, the importance of not relying on an individual job, the importance of growing yourself and growing your business and bettering yourself. So, you know, Dr. Robinson has a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, and he is clearly and definitely taking it to the next level. And when we get him back, we're going to talk about mindset, and we're going to, as like I said, when we get him back, we're going to talk about mindset, we're going to talk about order, we're going to talk about vacant, we're going to talk about execute. Anyway, doctor, how are you today? Yes, sir.
I'm good. I don't know what happened. We got disconnected.
Not a problem. Anyway, you were telling us about how you made your decision to leave and so that other gentleman can come, but you really realized how insecure what everybody thinks, which is a secure job, is.
Yeah, absolutely. And once I mastered some strategies and found out what worked, what didn't work, I really decided to bear all and help other people, you know, along the way. I've you know, network, and I know different people that are largely successful in business, and a lot of them, a large majority of them, have one or two flaws. One, they don't care to help anyone else, or two, they don't know how. They're not teachers. You know, they don't know how to instruct or cultivate talent. So we find a lot of people, they're out there on their own. You know, they're really out there on their own. In my book, Power Move, I talk about the three intelligences in business, okay? You have mechanical, technical, and psychological. The mechanical is the mechanics of the business, which all businesses share those same elements, such as taxes or doing payroll or expenses, marketing plans. You know, all businesses share this. And then you have the technical, which is actually the industry. So whatever your core business is, that's the technical intelligence. So if you're a restaurant, you know, cooking, if you have a hotel, hospitality, it's just exactly what your business is. And then you have the psychology of that psychological intelligence, which really talks about stress management, resiliency, creative thinking, time management, a lot of the elements that are not cultivated in people that are working on jobs. So you can be a great, I'm sure as you know, you can be a great chef, but that doesn't mean you can run a restaurant. And you may understand the mechanics of the business because as a chef, you may have held a management position. So you know how to keep food costs down. You know how to run payroll. You know how to do accounting. You know the mechanics and you know the technical. You know also know the cooking. But the psychological is not ever learned while you're working on a job. And you don't learn that psychology unless you start a business on your own or if you're actually mentored or under the tutelage of an actual business owner. So that's where a lot of people fail in their quest for entrepreneurship because they step out there confident that they know the mechanical and the technical part of business, not really knowing what comes with the psychology part of the business. And then they don't know what to do, how to make the right decisions, and then they often retreat back to working for a company. And then they're on that cycle, you know, stepping out there but not quite knowing. So I decided to really sit down and focus heavily on the psychology. I speak on all areas, but focus so much on the psychology because that is the missing piece that people really don't get when it's time to become an entrepreneur.
Understand. So today you're going to talk to us about that transition from employee to employer.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the book is broken down in four different parts. It's called MOVE, you know, Power Move. The acronym MOVE stands for Mindset, Order, Vacate, and Execute. And, you know, transitioning from employee to employer is not a knee-jerk reaction. It's not something that happens overnight. You actually have to plan for it. It has to be a strategy in place. And that strategy is what I laid out in the four different steps. And you know, it should be conquered in a matter of a year or so. So mindset mm-hmm. is really just getting getting your mind prepared for entrepreneurship and what comes with that. Order is getting all your resources in place, how to put things in order for you to become, you know, to transition into that position. And vacate, probably one of the most important steps in the process is vacating those bad habits. So the habit of a employee is not the same habit of an employer, okay? One small thing is, as an employee, once your money hits your account, you can do whatever you want with it. You can pay your, advisors and coaches and all that stuff talk to people about paying yourself first, okay? So your money hits your account, you take portions of that money, you put it in your savings, you pay yourself first. But as an employer, you pay yourself last. You got to make sure everything else is taken care of first, because you're no longer in first place. The first position of order is your business. Your business actually comes first, because your business is the one that is actually reproducing the resources for you to have a lifestyle. So you got to make sure that the business is taken care of. So that's just, you know, one of the small things, how you manage money, your outlook on the priority of who comes first and who doesn't. That comes from the third step, B, vacating those bad habits. And then E is just simply executing. So you're taking the steps now. You're forming the type of business that is applicable to you, which would have been covered in the book. Whether you go in as a corporation, an L3C, an LLC, nonprofit, you know, sole prop, you know, whatever, a partnership, you know, you're getting that kind of stuff going, and you're actually now taking the steps. You're getting your finances together. If you got to get investors, or you know, whatever the case is, E is pretty much just executing on everything that you've learned.
Outstanding. I know that I run into a lot of people that have that employee mindset, and I know that it's really hard to get people out of that. They depend so much on that job that they just don't know what to do with themselves. So I commend you for...
It's a very tough and brave thing to step out there. I really, really stepped out there. My wife at the time, she was in school full time. You know, we set out on this mission to get both of us off of the corporation, off of the plantation, what we were calling it. Both of us worked in corporate America, and you know, I got her off first. We started, you know, making sure we saved, we cut our expenses, we did certain things, and she went back to school full time. So the income, the solid income, was just me. We had three sons at the time. So when I decided to resign, it was a real bold step, because there was no health insurance, no stable income, no safety net. I mean, I was going out there walking across the Grand Canyon on a high wire with no net below me. What I did. I mean, yeah, It was nerve-wracking. It took me a minute to really know or understand my freedom. It really did. I was so conditioned to working for so long. You know, I was in the military. I transitioned from the military into corporate, and you know, that's a transition in and of itself. And transitioning from corporate to entrepreneurship, that's another transition in and of itself. And that took me a minute, just like it took me a minute to adjust to civilian life. It took me a minute to adjust to being an entrepreneur. I mean, I was waking up as if I had somewhere to go. I didn't recognize the streets, the highways. I was so used to being in rush hour traffic. Everything seemed so different. And, you know, it just came with a level of discipline that I was so blessed to have gained throughout my military experience, because I didn't need anyone to tell me what to do and when to do it, because I had that discipline and that structure embedded in me. I mean, honestly, I even tell people, and people don't even believe this, that I haven't used an alarm clock since 1998. I just wake up. I can have a flight 6 o'clock in the morning. I just wake up, because I think it's because I live a life that I love, that my I think there's a term in psychology, I think it's called your circadian rhythm or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Circadian rhythm, that's what it's called. Circadian mm-hmm. rhythm is when you know when you got to get up, when you got to go to sleep, when you got to do certain things. Animals have that very well, and people that are living lives that they love, they don't need alarm clocks. So I'm just transitioning into a place that's really, you know, just a great place for me. And I think that a lot of people out there trapped on jobs, I call them trapped entrepreneurs, that would like to share the exact same things. I mean, they would like to transition into entrepreneurship as well, but they just need to know how. They know how to. They need to learn how to prepare themselves. So that's really what, you know, my book and everything else is about.
Well, could you, one, tell people how they can get in touch with you and how they can learn more from you? I know you do speaking engagements, and, of course, you have the book, and I know you have two covers, too. That's quite interesting. So could you tell us how to get
yeah.
in touch
with you? Yeah, you can go to powermoveprofessionals.com. That's powermoveprofessionals.com to get Power Move, how to transition from employee to employer. Or you can go to my website, well, my personal website, devinrobinson.com. That's D-E-V-I-N, R-O-B-I-N-S-O-N.com, devinrobinson.com. And you can get my book there and, you know, learn some other things. I got some online classes. I got some packages and some other things to pretty much help you, hold you, you know, by the hand and take you into a life of being an entrepreneur.
Outstanding. Well, could you touch on, I know you have some different areas that you touch on for that visual healthy training, like your three steps and your five principles and your seven rules to success in business. Could you elaborate a little on those for the listeners?
Yeah, the three steps, or the three rules, you know, we have, oh, man, this is actually a three-hour training that we're talking about. So we have, there are three rules for a transformative life is what it's called. And then we have five business practices for you when you're going into business as well. So we have my five rules. Well, where should I start? Maybe you should start with the five practices. I mean, the three rules for a transformative life. I'm sorry?
No. Go ahead. You said the three steps.
Yeah, we have the three steps. I'm trying to, sum it up best. But let me just start with the five rules, because the five rules are something that I've carried out personally, and I think it's very, very powerful for people to really understand. You got to have rules for yourself, okay? And these rules help you develop your instinct, your reflex, and know what you should do in the event of, you know, you're faced with something. So my five rules are: keep a steady hand, forget the last play, sink the nine ball, don't overshoot the runway, and there's no excuse, okay? These are my personal rules, and it really has helped me go to the next level in business. So keep a steady hand is basically saying that you should stay focused as you're doing whatever you're doing, no matter what, okay? So if you think about maybe Navy SEALs, Navy SEAL sniper may be miles away from a target that he got to, you know, take down, and there's war, there's bombs, there are things going on all around them. Well, they got to keep a steady hand and stay focused. They can't let the distractions around them throw them off from what they're about to do. And that's really what you should do. Always keep a steady hand and not have some re-jerk, there's some knee-jerk reaction to things that are happening around you. Number two, forgetting the last play. When I was a boy, I played Little League softball. My coach taught me this valuable lesson. He said, if the play was good, you tend to become relaxed. And if the play was bad, you tend to become doubtful. Okay? So you always want to forget what you did last because, you know, you hear people say you're only as good as your last hit in the music world. You really want to keep in mind that every day is a brand new day. And that's how I approach business every day. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. It matters what I'm getting ready to do right now. So always forget the last play. Number three, sink in the nine ball. I don't know if your listeners remember the movie called Talk to Me. Talk to Me was a movie of Petey Green. Are you familiar with that movie? Petey Green and Dewey. It was a real interesting movie. It came out in 2007. Petey Green was a slick-talking convict in jail, and Dewey Hughes, you're probably familiar with Kathy Hughes, the CEO of TV One, Radio One, those mm-hmm. networks. Dewey Hughes was her husband, and he used to work at a radio station, and he was the one that launched the whole radio career thing for her, but he was working as on a radio station in D.C., and he used to go to jail to visit his brother, and there was a guy in the jail called Petey Green who used to be slick-talking. He ran like a local radio show in the prison, and that mm-hmm. guy, Petey Green, said, I'm going to come for a job when I get out of here, and Dewey Hughes was like, okay, no problem, because Dewey Hughes didn't expect him to get out of jail. Eventually he got out, and when he got out, he wanted a job. Petey Green wanted a job. Dewey Hughes didn't want to get the job. He was a convict. So they decided to play pool, and whoever won would get their way. Petey Green was all confident because Dewey Hughes was a straight-laced, articulate, you know, guy, straight-talking, you know, that kind of stuff, and he just didn't think he knew his way around a pool table. So they started to shoot pool. Petey Green shot first. The slick-talking guy shot first. He missed. Then Dewey Hughes had to shoot, and he commenced to putting all the balls in the pocket. Okay? He won the game, and as he was about to sink the nine ball, he started to talk and kind of school Petey Green to not mm-hmm. judge people by their cover. And he said, the one thing I really hate are fast-talking, slick-talking people who when they get the chance, they can't even sink the nine ball. And he sank the nine ball right when he said it. And that really stuck with me. And it stuck with me to say that, you know, you always want to make sure that you can deliver. You know, don't overpromise and underdeliver. That's a huge problem for me where, you know, people lose money because, you know, you hire employees or people contract with you to do a service. You just tell people things just to get the money. And then when you get in there, you can't deliver. So mm-hmm. that's another piece that I taught myself that I wouldn't ever step into an arena where I don't belong or tell people I can do something that I can't do. So number three, make sure you can sink the nine ball. Number four, don't overshoot the runway. That's basically, you know, my rule in saying that, you know, when a plane's landing, there's a zone they have to land in, okay, that the touchdown zone. If they miss that touchdown zone, they may have to go around and try again because the runway may be too short and they'll, you know, get off of the runway because they didn't hit that zone. Well, overshooting the runway to me in that sense is using more resources than you really need. You know, I have a saying, you shouldn't use a bazooka to kill a fly, okay? And so many people try to use a bazooka to kill a fly. So, for example, people commonly try to overspend when they get businesses to kind of send the illusion of success. Okay, mm-hmm. they buy fancy cars, they go out and do all this stuff because they're wanting to impress their clientele or their customers into believing that they're doing so well so they can gain those customers. And really at the end of the day, half the time it's not necessary. You don't have to try to present an illusion of success to get people to buy into you or see that you're doing well. I mean, Warren Buffett, I think he still drives like a Nissan or something. We're talking billionaire Warren Buffett. you know, a lot of these people, they understand the essence of being effective and efficient. You know, getting in where you fit in, hitting the touchdown zone right when you should, rather than, you know, overdoing it and then skidding off of the runway. And then, of course, my rule number five is there's no excuse. I often say to people, operate as if you have no excuse and you will never need one. It's self-explanatory. You know, even when you think something is justified, even though when you think an excuse will go over well with someone, it doesn't mean that you should operate in a mindset that I have an excuse for my lack of performance. And we see that a lot of times with people where they're able to find excuses and they make excuses and they never get to their zen zone is what I call it. They never get to that place where they're really performing well because they're constantly using excuses. So you want to operate as if there's no such thing as an excuse and you will never need one. So those are the five rules, my five personal rules that I take with me every day in the business world. And once you have adopted your own rules and principles, you will start to see your performance, the results or the output of your performance become so well in business. I mean, you'll be getting the results that you're looking for.
Well, those are some phenomenal rules. I think there's a lot of power in everything that you said, and I'm very thankful that you shared it with us, with me and the listeners. I think that was really great. Well, I know you also have a blog, you have Facebook, all of that. Would you like to share that information before we close?
Yeah, well, actually, if people go to devinrobinson.com, they'll find all of my links there, because I'm going to tell you, I don't have the sharpest memory for all my handles, because I got the Instagram, I think that's at Professor Devin Robinson. My Twitter is at Professor Devin, and my Facebook is /Devin.Robinson908 or something like that. I would hate to frustrate your listeners. So, you know, they hit my homepage and my website. All the links are there that they can find me on social media.
I understand. That's probably the best way to go anyway, because sometimes it gets crazy when you're trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, you got so many out there and stuff. You're just trying to remember that, you know. So it's hard sometimes.
Yes, sir. Well, Dr. Robinson, is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with as a last comment or thought before we close? And thank you very much for coming on. It was truly an honor and great to have you.
Well, I mean, really, thanks for bringing me on the show. You know, I'm always honored when I get the opportunity to be invited into someone else's home and share, you know, what I have with their family. So I'm definitely appreciative of that. You know, I really want to leave the listeners with, you know, a quote that I always keep close to me as well. If nothing changes, nothing changes. I mean, it just sums up everything. If you feel like a trapped entrepreneur, you know you have gifts and talents, you have goods and services that can benefit society as a whole, bless your family, and take you to the next level, I really implore you to get moving. You know, you've got to get moving. I mean, it's not going to fall in your lap. There's no such thing as a perfect time. I did a training last week where I really expounded on that fact that, you know, some people wait for them to step out on their dreams. They're sitting back waiting for their kids to start school. Then they say they're going to wait till their kids finish school. Then they're going to say they're going to wait till they go back to school or wait till they finish school. They're constantly looking for this perfect time. And there's no such thing as a perfect time. I mean, that would almost be like saying there's a such thing as a perfect world. There's no such thing as perfect weather. There may be perfect weather in one region of the world, but somewhere in the world it's always raining. Somewhere in the world is always bad weather. So don't think that everything is going to line up perfectly and this is going to be some abyss or oasis where this is the time for you to step out perfectly. If there was a such thing as a perfect time, everyone would be, you know, endeavoring in business. Everyone would be doing something. So you got to understand that there's no such thing as a perfect time. And if you don't change your mindset and if nothing changes for you, nothing will definitely change.
Again, that was very huge. Dr. Robinson, again, I want to thank you for coming on the Zurian Show. And I encourage all of the listeners to share this show with everybody that you know, because everybody's looking to find that thing that they truly want to do with themselves. And working for somebody else is only supposed to be a step. It's not supposed to be the entire journey, at least not for everyone. So again, Dr. Robinson, thank you very much for coming on, and we look forward to having you back again.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for bringing me on the show, and I'm greatly honored to be here, and you know, I look forward to being invited back on once again.
Roger that. Anytime you want, you just let us know. Anyway, ladies
absolutely.
And gentlemen,
thanks again.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Robinson's information and the information on the show about his book, Power Moves, and all of that is also included on the link. Please share the show with everyone and anyone who you think could greatly benefit from it. And I'm telling you now, they can. So you should share it. And again, his website is www.powermovesprofessionals.com. Again, that's powermoveprofessionals.com. And again, the gentleman is, I mean, we're greatly appreciative that we had this gentleman on, and he shared all of these nuggets and knowledge, and he's got a ton more to share with each and every one of you. Anyway, we are out of time, and I'm going to close right now, but as always, we wish you much success, and have a great and wonderful day. Farewell.